Rick Carpignello joins us here. He does the Rangers for The Athletic, and he joins us to talk a little Rangers hockey here on Sportsnet 650. Rick, thank you very much for doing this. How are you?
Hey, my pleasure, guys. I'm doing great.
I'm sure you are, and you got something else to write about today with John Davidson coming over. Yep. What is the impact of getting John Davidson back into the Rangers organization in your estimation?
Well, I think the major thing to me is that it doesn't change much, which is what you didn't want in this situation. You know, you want it to be some sort of status quo. Excuse me, with the rebuild that they're going through, you didn't want somebody coming in and wanting to take over as the GM, wanting to replace Jeff Gorton and Chris Drury. You didn't want somebody coming in and saying, let's do things a little differently this year. You know, you just wanted, because of what they've done for 2 years and where this rebuild has gone, what they wanted, the people who were here before JD gets there wanted was stability, and they want somebody who will go along with the program. I think JD will certainly do that. But it's a lot of other things, too. First of all, he's obviously very, very popular with the fan base. He knows the Garden inside and out, and he knows the owner. And let's face it, I mean, the owner, he's very involved with his basketball team, but he hasn't been real involved with the hockey team. And that's kind of, that's a good thing. You want your hockey team run by hockey people. And since Jim Dolan has been here, he's let Glenn Sather run it and pretty much had a free hand. And that, you want that status quo, too. You want your hockey people to run your hockey team. So I think, in all those regards, this is a good move for the Rangers, and it doesn't change a lot. But they get a really, really good guy, a guy I've known since 1978, and a really smart and funny guy.
And a guy who's very well respected in the hockey world as well, a guy with a ton of connections, and he obviously has one to a pending free agent in Columbus.
More than one, yeah.
Oh, yeah, more than one for sure. Do you believe this greases the skids at all for Artemi Panarin to come to New York?
I think it helps. I'm sure that they're going to make a big run at him no matter who the next president was going to be, and we kind of knew it was going to be John Davidson since the job opened. But it certainly doesn't hurt. Florida's going to be in it, we know, and we know Florida has the state tax advantage, so to speak. But John Davidson's going to have an inside track, I would think, on Artemi Panarin, and if he wants to be here, and he has kind of hinted that he wants to play in a big market, well, this is a big market, and he'll be coming to play for John Davidson and coming to play for a team, quite frankly, that's going to be really interesting to watch in the next couple of years.
Rick Carpignello covers the Rangers for The Athletic. He joins us here on Sportsnet 650.
Rick, you mentioned that adding JD doesn't change a ton from the plan that this organization has had in place over the last couple of seasons in collecting assets and collecting draft picks. But when it comes to his job specifically, it feels like he can be the guy that can administer a few finishing touches to this project. What do you envision that might look like?
Yeah, I've spoken to JD a number of times since his name first came up, which was like a day after Sather announced he was stepping down. I have spoken to him, but he hasn't been able to speak about the job, which is understandable. So I don't honestly know, what he's going to do. I've heard from people in the organization that he's on board with where they're going and the plan. But I'm sure he has some ideas too. And I'm sure that, in New York, he'll have access to money that's not cap money, for hiring people if he wants to hire people and for, adding personnel or adding analytics or adding whatever he wants to add, the money is going to be there because, the salary cap only applies to the players and the Rangers have almost unlimited funds otherwise. So he's going to have a big bankroll to do things that other owners may not or other team presidents may not. But I don't know, how much of the separation will be. I know he likes Jeff Gorton and he likes what Gorton's done. And Gorton is still going to be the GM and call most of the shots. But now he's going to have Davidson's help with that. And I don't think Davidson will overstep his bounds and prevent Gorton from doing what he wants to do. But he'll certainly provide a sounding board and a really good one, I think.
When the Rangers sent out that letter a year ago saying, okay, we're going to do the rebuild. This is our plan. Here's how we're going to reload. And it was accepted very well. How long did people think it would take for them to get that job done? Because it feels from the outside looking in like this has gone much more quickly than originally anticipated.
Yeah, I think the realistic thing, you know, thought was 3 to 5 years, because we've seen other teams do it, and some teams have been stuck in a rebuild for 8 years and still haven't finished. And so I was thinking, and I think the obvious was going to take more than two. But I do think that, you know, when they had that draft lottery in Toronto and the Rangers got the lucky ball, that really changed the focus of this thing. I think it really changed the tone, because you're going to get a franchise player here. They've got another kid coming in Vitali Kravtsov, who they just signed. He was a first rounder last year. And then if you throw in one or two free agents, boy, it looks like it's a lot closer to being done than not done. You know, on top of that, they've got goalies to replace Henrik Lundqvist, and that was always going to be a, what are you going to do when Lundqvist retires? So I think they're at a point where they're probably way ahead of schedule. I don't think they're ready to win a Stanley Cup yet. I certainly don't, because they are going to have to rebuild their defense with youngsters. But you know, I think they're way ahead. I think they're way ahead of 3 to 5, in terms of being competitive.
Speaking of those defensemen, those young defensemen, Rick, I've got your ranking of the top prospects in the Rangers system that you did for The Athletic open here, and there are a number of players on this list that are defensemen. As you said, yeah, they're young, they have to rebuild that defense. Where do you think they're headed in terms of giving some of these young players a chance, and how many are close to getting that opportunity with the Rangers?
Well, I think, you know, Adam Fox is certainly going to get a big opportunity, and Libor Hájek, who was here at the end of the year but then got hurt, is going to get an opportunity to be on the opening night roster. So that's two. Last year, Tony DeAngelo earned, you know, he just improved so much that he's now earned a spot. And but there are more, you know, more that are not coming yet. I think, you know, Keandre Miller is really the guy who could be the top end type defenseman. But he's going to stay at Wisconsin for his sophomore season. Nils Lundqvist is another one, and he's, I think, staying in Sweden for another season. Yegor Rykov is one they got from the Devils in the Michael Grabner trade, and he may not come over from Russia, but they're trying to get him to come over, but they haven't gotten that done yet. So, I still think it's a ways out, and even some of these guys, when they do come over, may have to spend some time in Hartford, just because that's what young defensemen do. They spend time in the AHL. So I do think that's going to be a process, but little at a time, and I think that there'll be two guys with a really good chance to be on their opening night lineup.
Rick Carpignello joining us here talking New York Rangers hockey on Sportsnet 650. How hot and heavy will the New York Rangers pursue Erik Karlsson?
I don't think they're going to be in on Erik Karlsson. Okay. I don't think they're going to be on P.K. Subban. I think they're going forwards. If they could get a Jacob Trouba at a reasonable price, I think they'd be interested, but I don't think they're going to be going to the bank for what Carlson's going to cost. I think they're looking for upfront help right now. And that makes sense to me because they have the numbers of young defensemen coming. And because in 2 years they're going to have even more cap space when Lundqvist and Brendan Smith and Mark Stahl and Kevin Shattenkirk all come off the books, they're going to be able to go on a spending spree to really fill holes that they need to fill 2 years from now. So I don't believe they're going to be in on Karlsson unless Karlsson finds that the market that he's looking for is not there and he wants to do something shorter term, then sure. I mean, you'd be crazy to not listen, wouldn't you?
Of course. I think every team in the National Hockey League puts itself on that list. Shattenkirk has a no movement clause. Do you see the Rangers trying to get out of the Kevin Shattenkirk business?
Not now. I think that it makes a little more sense to do that next year. I mean, if they could do a trade, yes, for sure. If they could find somebody that he would agree to go to and actually make a trade where somebody takes the majority of that salary, yes, they would certainly be looking to get out. But in terms of a buyout, it makes more sense to ride out this season and buy him out next year and not extend that dead cap space over a longer period of time.
Rick, when you look at the division that the Rangers are playing in, you've got Pittsburgh and Washington that have been at the top of that division for quite a while, but seem to be kind of maybe on the way down. The Islanders had a heck of a season, but people aren't necessarily buying into that long term. And then, of course, Carolina, also an impressive year, at least toward the end, and obviously making it to the conference final. But Philadelphia's have been up and down. New Jersey's in that same situation as the Rangers, with another top pick coming their way. And Columbus might be on the decline. Do the Rangers look at the division as one that could really swing their way over the next couple of years, and that accelerates their aggressiveness in building a team and building a roster that can be the best team in the Metropolitan?
Yeah, I don't think they're thinking they're going to be the best team in any time soon, but I think that they think they can make a run for a playoff spot with a couple of good moves this summer. I mean, if they have a good June, July, there's no reason they can't challenge for a playoff spot. I think they played, I want to say, mid-40s, one-goal games last year. And they were, they were pretty competitive most nights. They worked really hard most nights. They just didn't have the skill. And now you're going to add, three, four, maybe five skilled players to this roster with the draft and the free agents, and I don't see any reason why they can't compete. I mean, you look at, like you said, some of those teams that got in this year, they got in because the bottom was so weak, the bottom of the East was so weak that, a lot of teams fed on the Buffaloes and the Rangers and, the teams like that, and Devils, and, some of those teams got fat on against the weaker half of the division, so of the conference. So I don't think there's a big difference between the teams that didn't make it and the teams that did on the bottom half. I think that the Rangers truly believe they can compete for a playoff spot next year.
Boy, do they have draft capital to spend as well, should they choose to, or they can just make all those picks, 9 of them coming up here next month in Vancouver. Yeah. Rick, thank you very much for doing this. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Sportsnet 650.